Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
Oh, welcome back. There it is. Evan, thank you.
Hey.
I tell you, Evan's the magic man tonight. You know, producer extraordinaire.
I'm in the mood.
He's in the mood, man. And Johnny's on a roll, man. Just speaking.
Catching the ghost tonight.
Man, holy. You know, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, a.k.a. Matt Damon's mom, and Johnny Lupinacci keeping her waiting. I mean, where are your manners,
Come
Dietrich?
On. You know I was getting a hard time from the listeners.
Yeah, I heard.
Texts were coming through.
Yeah,
you're supposed to be representing Detroit and manners much better than that, Mr. Johnny Lupinacci.
Man. Okay,
get your butt on the air.
So, you know, we went the last bit there. You know, Tucker Carlson last week decided, you know, this critical race theory, we just it's so poisonous. However, we don't even know the extent to which the poison exists. We need cameras in classrooms to expose the poison that's being out there. And Johnny and you and I come back and go, hey, you know what? Open the door and welcome, man. Come check it out because you're going to learn a lot. But, you know, and the Facebook Livers caught this and we're sitting there going, let's also recognize, too, that we're not preaching for surveillance.
No.
Mm-mm. You know.
And
go ahead.
And one caveat, Tim. It's a certain kind of person that thinks the solution is to have the idea that teachers are hiding something. Mm-hmm. Generally, it's a person who's hiding a whole lot, who thinks other people are hiding things.
Ah.
And so, I mean, just remember, it's sort of like a giant red flag when a talking head says, we need cameras on these, you know, these corrupt teachers. It's like, well, maybe we need cameras on these corrupt talking heads and these decision makers, because it's only those who fear what people are doing behind closed doors because of what they do behind closed doors. And so there's a whole distrust factor that I got to kind of put out there too. Is like, no, please put the cameras on. And how about we both put some cameras on?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
I'll show you mine. You show me yours.
Hey, right? we don't do that on this show here. No, Busted Pencils. Hey, you know, we are in the last segment. Forgot to even give it out though. So anybody out there, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Teacher, if
we're
you want to be
calls tonight, unless you are wearing a camera.
Yeah. We want you to call in wearing your camera, you know, and that goes for you too, LA Tom out there. In LA, we know you're thinking about us and listening, but you know,
a pizza box, Mike.
Pizza box, Mike. Man, all these, you know, just you know, and I'm getting a little befuddled as we think about all these things because, and in fact, even that word befuddled, I can hear people going, "He just said befuddled. What a really stupid word." But Johnny, as we think about teaching and learning and, you know, the show and the purpose of Busted Pencils, we've, as always said, is to, you know, we want people, it's a good time, but we want you to learn something. We want you to go, wow, I didn't know that. You know, so when you hear Matt Damon's mom, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, make mention that racism starts in early childhood classrooms by the simple denial of play. For somebody to go, wait, what? That's, you know, yeah. Did you hear that? Students as young as 3 and 4 are denied play. And we can look at and go, the largest proportion of those students being denied play are black and brown and poor kids.
Yeah. And I just want to make one clarification for you, Tim, and I don't think you meant this. I just want to clarify for our listeners. Is like, none of us think that racism starts because of the denial of play.
No. Right.
It's exacerbated or it's experienced early on. It's becoming a cultural pattern in public places for young people. And what you learn when you're a kid going to school is that it's accepted. And it's sort of also like learned as like the way. Right. Mm-hmm. Schools carry with it a lot of power. And so when young people are seeing and experiencing those kinds of denials and those kinds of embodied forms of racism and sexism at such an early age, it's taught as like patterns of accepted ways of being in our culture. And what we want is those. That's because of the external pressure of racism and sexism in schools. So just changing it in schools isn't going to eradicate racism.
No.
But what it's going to do is certainly empower young people to have a foundation of something very different.
Yeah.
So that when they're developmentally questioning it and challenging it, they have experiences that are counter, to the ways that racism is lived and experienced in our everyday lives outside of places like schools.
I think where I was maybe going with this and maybe it was to more point out this more structural view of saying who decides who gets play and who doesn't get play. And when you recognize that there are people actually making decisions that certain kids don't get play, that's where I'm talking about. That's racism right there. It's not, and I'm not talking about what kids are learning. I'm talking about the policymakers that say, Johnny Lupinacci, you get play. Tim Slecker, you get drill and kill. Why?
And we,
Tim, because, you know, and of course it'll drop into, it's not going to be because Tim, because you're, you know, you're a poor struggling kid from the mountains. It's going to be your test scores show that you need help. You don't need play. Play when you are smarter than you can play. And it gets rationalized into this. It's like, look, you not playing is good for you, Tim. And it's like, no, okay, that's what I want people to hear is that when you hear about play being denied, it's a larger policy that itself, that policy was put together by people who are coming at and seeing children as deficits. And needing,
or problems,
and that's and
behavior
it's like,
problems,
and yet I'm sorry, and there's a racial, when you then disaggregate the data and say who is most likely to put, maybe not get play, wow, the pattern starts to emerge. There's a critical race theory element there that we start to go, what does this tell us?
And the denial of play, I think that's key for us to talk about, but I will extend it to who do we rationalize extreme punishment for?
Yeah.
And denial of play is a form of punishment. Right. And so what happens in so many schools is we rationalize and we have justification for why girls should behave a particular way, why particular groups of people should happen. Tim, you gave a great example of like maybe a poor kid from the mountains is going to have all these rationalized ways that the teachers punish you under the guise of helping you. And this is the kind of stuff we're hoping that young teachers are. When I say young, I don't mean like an age. I mean, like as you're coming into your career, that you really come into it thinking about unlearning the ways we often have rationalized punishment to particular groups and individual children.
I think,
and that's important for us to remember.
Yeah, just so you say that. I mean, we do it as, you know, almost it's like, you know, I can a first year teacher, right? I'm in rural Virginia teaching 29 second graders, 97 degrees, no air conditioning. And you know what classroom management technique Mr. Slecker uses at age 24? You're not going out to recess unless you be, and there I am punishing.
Hey, yeah,
right?
We've all been there.
But but that's the part, and it's like, wait a minute, why would I punish? It's like, but so how do we rethink these? And I like the what you use the word unlearn. How do we unlearn what seems almost like, well, of course you would deny them recess. Well, no, wait a minute. Let's unpack who we're denying recess to and say, what is it at this point that they've been denied up to this point where you go, actually, you deserve recess. You deserve a break. You deserve a moment of freedom. The last thing you need is more oppression, more violence. I mean, it's a form of violence, man. And I know people are like, dude, that's over holding people back from recess. It's a form, man.
Yeah. And we just, but when I work with a lot of teachers on this, like classroom management, just the term itself, classroom management, is loaded, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, we just think about it. Do you rely on punishment for organized learning in your classroom? Or do you develop a disciplinary role, which doesn't have to be punishment based,
mm-hmm.
right? That can be sort of like community accountability, structure, and recognizing difference in different learners and having really organized, but not rigid and punishment based classroom. And it's very possible. It is incredibly doable. However, teaching is one of the few professions that almost all of us going into teaching have about 20 years of on the job experience.
Yeah.
So we get into like the socialization of it. And Tim, on those hot, long days, we often go to muscle memory. And so I would always say school seeps in. And man, did it happen more often than I would like to be proud of.
Okay.
Right. And so we have to show with grace that it's hard to unlearn, but it's entirely possible. And great show tonight.
And Johnny dropped the truth bombs there. Yeah. Next week, more Busted Pencils. Kentucky Commissioner Jason Glass. Johnny, thank you. Dr. Nancy, thank you. Later.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils. Or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.